Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us and that we have this opportunity to help you to grow deeper so that your impact is wider. So often as we live our lives for Jesus in this day and age, we complain about what's going on in the culture, and rightly so. There are so many things going on outside of us in the world that dishonors God that it's frightening to be a Christian now. And some people punch, some people panic, and some people placate and join into the culture. We want to be a church that is in the world, but not of the world. We don't want to withdraw and go on to a commune. We don't want to be constantly marching on Ottawa. And we don't want to be those who are filled with fear. We want to be those who are filled with faith. So how do we do this? And I think what's so important for us as we enter into the summer of 2023 is to be those who are constantly growing in our faith. We had a sermon illustration a little while ago that talked about having $3 of the gospel, $3 of Christianity, just enough to make us feel better, but not enough to transform us. And so many of you at Cloverdale Baptist Church have come to me and said, I don't want that. I want so much more. I want to be driven and defined by my relationship with Jesus. I want that Galatians 4:19 conformity to Christ, or Romans 12:1-2. I want to be all in. I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to, 2 Corinthians 4:8, walk by faith and not by sight. I truly want an authentic faith. I want to live as though God is real and relevant and grow in that all of the time. We have often said that one of the marks of a growing disciple is the closer you get to Jesus, the further away you realize you are. Or perhaps we could say it, the more humble you become and the deeper your desire is to know him. The longing of Psalm 42 as a deer pants for the water, or that this deep desire that the Bible talks about. So the more you're satisfied, the more you long for until heaven. And so really what we want to do over the summer in these podcasts is talk about, how do I grow deeper so that my impact is wider? How do I grow so that when things happen in the world, I don't panic, punch, or placate? I live for the glory of God. And we just want to talk about, really, in this foundational podcast, the importance of these foundational elements so that we bring honor and glory to God, so that we grow deeper and impact wider. So foundationally, we need to have a desire to know God more, a desire to live for him, to be holy, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, to discipline ourselves for godliness. We need that longing to know God more. Oh, God, there's so much I want to know about you and who you are and how you have revealed yourself to us in your word. There needs to be not only a desire, but a dependence on the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. In fact, Jesus is so clear on this. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And when the counselor comes, we have this ability not only to know the truth, but to live in obedience to the truth. In fact, Romans 8:13 tells us, if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. And so there needs to be this active dependence. So a desire, a dependence, and then a delight. Relational delight. I think so often in North America, Christianity has become a religion that doesn't drive and define us, but actually in many ways is either like the culture or withdraws from the world and isn't that active in the world, but not of the world that Jesus wants. And so we need to have this delight in the relationship with God that causes us to long to know him more and be more and more affirmed in his love for us and living lives of holiness and love. So do you want more? Do you have that deep desire in your heart to know him better and to live for him more fully and to be more satisfied in him? Are you willing to realize that you can't do that on your own, that you need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you're actively dependent all of the time? And do you have a current delight in your relationship with him, that you long to live your life in that first love devotion to him and be aware of his presence and power, and know that, as Matthew 28 says so profoundly, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. Well, if you have this desire, and if you're willing to be dependent, actively dependent, and you're delighting in him and long for so much more delight and satisfaction in him, then you're ready to start the journey to, or I suppose continue the journey to growing deeper and wider. And it's going to take some work in community and some work alone and some interaction with God and one another so that we can be holy and loving, so that we can be in the world but not of the world, so that we can have more than $3 worth of the gospel. So where do we start once we have that desire, dependence, and delight? Where do we start? And the answer is not only do we start with the gospel, but we stay in the gospel. The gospel, the Greek word for that literally means the good news. It's come to mean the good news of what God has done for us. I suppose in the New Testament more than that, but never less. And so in this first podcast on what it means to grow deeper if you have this desire, dependence, and delight, is this foundational level of learning what the gospel is, and then I hope and pray learning to preach the gospel to ourselves every day so that we meet every problem, every potential opportunity with the reality of the gospel defining us. So the reality of the gospel needs to be understood with some basic core truths. The first is the God of the Bible is real, as he has revealed himself to us to be. He is holy, holy, holy. He is the creator. He has revealed himself to us in his word, and he wants to be known. His holiness is so pure and so separate or set apart that any sin cannot stand in his presence. God is real. That's the first and most important thing to realize if we want to grow deeper and impact wider. Then in terms of our own reality, I am real, but that reality is marked not only by being made in the image of God, but also as being one who has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I can't measure up to his holiness. I can't measure up to his demands. And so therefore, I am in trouble. And the wages of my sin is death, Romans 6:23. And there's no hope for me in and of myself. I need God to reach out, to initiate, to love me. Reality number one, God is real, and it's the God of the Bible. Reality number two, I am real, and I'm a fallen sinner made in his image, and I can't measure up on my own. Reality number three, Jesus came from heaven to earth. Or I suppose God sent his one and only Son, and this Son lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose again. Now, if in those things it was just a reality that we talk about, there would be no profoundness to it. I suppose it would be cool that a God would love us this so much to display it. But it's so much more than that. In fact, this perfect life that he lived, if we have faith in him, becomes our perfect life. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The death on the cross was, as Isaiah so profoundly predicts and as so many passages in the New Testament so profoundly display, for us, he took upon himself the wrath of God, paid our penalty in full. We call this propitiation. And then he rose again, conquering sin and death and displaying his victory over sin, his victory over death, his victory over the demonic realm by that resurrection. This is amazing and offers us in his grace hope. God is real, as he has revealed himself to be in his word. I am real and fallen and can't measure up on my own, and God has given a solution, a bridge, as it were. And if I respond by grace in faith, I can receive from him forgiveness, identity, purpose, and hope for eternity. In fact, if I believe, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, if I respond in faith and believe that I am a sinner, that Jesus is the one who came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, if I believe these things are for me personally, I'm given a new heart. And this new heart now has a devotion to him. Actually, if we are talking about the order of salvation, it comes just before I believe. But practically, here's what's important. I'm changed. I'm forgiven. I'm set free from the bondage to sin, to death. And now I begin this walk with him, so I live by faith and not by sight, so that I'm constantly living in gratitude and joy and thanksgiving for what he's done for me. You see, the gospel, if it is the defining reality of our lives, is something that so profoundly affects us that it changes everything else forward. And that's why when Jesus gave the ordinances to his church, they are reminders of the gospel. They are reminders of what Jesus has done for us, and they're done in relationship with him. That's why Jesus said when he gave us communion or the Lord's table, "This do in remembrance of me." Never forget the richness of the gospel. So if this is the foundational place for us, if we have desire, dependence, and delight to grow, how do we stay here? How do we start here? How do we stay here? And I'm going to give you three words that I hope will help you, and then we'll explain how to preach the gospel to yourself every day, which I think is super important. The first word is believe, and keep on believing. This is radical. This is a belief that you can't measure up on your own, but in Jesus, you measure up profoundly. You never have to worry that God doesn't accept you because of your sin, because in Christ, you are perfect. Believe what Jesus has done for you. Believe that the payment was made in full. When he said, "It is finished," that meant price paid in full. Believe. Keep on believing. Bask. Bask in his love. This is so important for us as followers of Jesus, because this is where the difference between a $3 religion and a life-defining relationship is made. In fact, in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, we find if we experience his love richly, it literally fills us up to the fullness of God. Carson talks about that being something that actually allows us to live a godly life. Or in Ephesians 5, that we can be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. In other words, when we bask in his love, it creates in us this motive, this compelling, if you want to use 2 Corinthians 5:14 language, to be different, to live our lives for him. If you struggle with desire, dependence, or delight, if you struggle with living for God and you're punching or you're panicking or you're placating, if you're struggling with those things, the first and most important answer that you need to start and stay in is to bask in the love of God. So you believe, you bask and keep on basking, you believe and keep on believing, and then bring to mind constantly that this is, and I think in the book of Revelation, or study through the book of Revelation, this was so profound. It's constantly living in Jesus' presence. It's remembering that he's with us, that he walks among us, that he wants us to know him and to live our lives for him, and to know and experience that we matter to him. This is the work of art that we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Ephesians 2:10 kind of reality. See, when we realize this, we realize that Christianity is all of grace, and that we've responded in faith, and that we live in a broken and fallen world. Now our passion becomes, I want to live my life for God's glory. That's the motive that only can come from a gospel understanding. Religion can't get you there. It has to be this intimate relationship with Jesus that gets you there. And then all of a sudden you start to discipline yourself for godliness because you know his love. You've experienced because you love him, because there's nothing else that will satisfy. So we need to be those who live gospel-centered lives. Now, I said to you, the way we do that is we say, at least here, to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. I got that from Jerry Bridges, and it's been profound in my own life and certainly in the lives of those who I have the privilege of discipling here and around the world. Why does this matter? Well, for me personally, I sometimes struggle with my own sin. I'm overwhelmed with God's holiness. I look to him and I look at him and I realize how in his light my dirt shows. And I wonder how God could use someone like me. This is the Pauline request and concern. And I love Romans 8, verse 1. This is preaching the gospel to yourself if you struggle with this. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. In other words, the condemnation I deserve, Jesus has taken. Now I'm free, and I never need to be one who worries about judgment on my sin, because Jesus has taken that. I can serve him with fullness and freedom in Christ. If you struggle with self-condemnation, preach the gospel to yourself and memorize Romans 8 verse 1 and so many other verses. Or how about if you struggle with passion, you're apathetic or you're worldly or you're getting caught up in the world and you need that desire and delight and longing to be one who is like Jesus, and you just don't have that motive anymore, you're just apathetic, the $3 of the gospel is all you have, then if you know the gospel reality, experiencing it, it will change you. Christ's, this is 2 Corinthians 5:14, Christ's love compels me. In other words, it's the gospel that gives you that desire, the reality of the gospel that changes you. Or if you struggle loving, the Bible tells us, 1 John, you preach the gospel to yourself. We love because he first loved us. Or forgiving, you preach the gospel to yourself and you realize that you've been forgiven so much so you can forgive others. Or if you're struggling with your identity and you're going, I just don't know who I am. I just don't know. I just don't have confidence in that. Then you realize you're found in Christ because of the gospel. Or if you're struggling with pride or condemning others, you can find in the gospel humility, that you are a trophy of grace. I love Matthew 5:3, the poorness in spirit, but I love even more, I think, Ephesians 2:7, which tells us we'll be trophies of grace for all eternity. If you struggle with pride or condemning others or looking down at others, all you have to do is look to Christ and realize that when you get to heaven because of his grace, you will put on display the beauty of that grace for all eternity. And you'll look at me and you'll say, oh, Pastor Rob, you're here. You don't deserve to be here. God's grace is so amazing. He saved a wretch like you. And I'll look back at you and I'll go right back at you, sister or brother. And we will both rejoice in the greatness of God and the wonder of his grace and the glory of him saving sinners like us and Paul and everyone else that he's saved. I long for Cloverdale Baptist Church to grow deeper. We want a culture of discipleship that allows us to go through anything that God brings our way, unified and joyful and living on mission for him. And the only way we're going to do that is if we grow individually and together. If we have foundationally this desire, I want more. This dependence, only as God's Spirit works in me can I accomplish this. This delight in relationship. And then as we begin this journey, and really where we need to stay always, let's stay gospel-centered. Let's be those who understand that the reason we can know him is Jesus. The reason we can pursue him is Jesus. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, let's preach the gospel to ourselves every day and let it be our freedom, our passion, our love, our forgiveness, our identity, our humility, our really life to keep on living for the glory of God and walking by faith and not by sight. Believe, keep on believing. Bask in the love of God and keep on basking. And bring to mind the richness and glory of what Jesus has done for you and never lose sight of it. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. You know, I think every one of us should be a preacher. Look in the mirror and remind yourself of how loved you are by God because of his great love. Remind yourself that you're his trophy and that he treasures you and that he has a plan for you that day because of his grace. Remind yourself that you matter because of the gospel and that you put on display how great God is. Remind yourself that God's desire for you is to be like Jesus because of what Jesus has done for you and live in the context of the gospel. You know, there's more to growing deeper and impacting wider. We're going to talk about prayer and the importance of personal prayer and corporate prayer and being a part of prayer meetings in the church. We're going to talk about the importance of God's word and memorizing God's word and meditating on it and hearing God's word preached in community. We're going to talk about the importance of using your spiritual gifts with the people of God and connecting small groups and larger groups and being a part of the family of God in the local church. And we're going to talk about pursuing intimacy and relationship with him. And as we do these things, the gospel must be central to all of them. In other words, as we talk about the discipline of prayer and the discipline of God's word and intake of it and the discipline of being a part of the church of Jesus, the bride of Christ, and the discipline of staying relational and not slipping into religion, we talk about those things foundationally where our hope is found because we'll fall short in all of them and lose sight of why we're doing it if we don't start with the gospel, stay with the gospel, and preach the gospel to ourselves every day. This is the start of the summer holidays for us and an opportunity to reestablish what really matters. So may I encourage you with great joy, God loves you. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross, paying the penalty for sin in full, rose again in victory. And your faith in Jesus and what he has done sets you free and puts you on a pathway in the power of the Spirit to live life for his glory, to live a life that matters. It literally changes eternity. Don't ever forget how much you matter to God, how much you matter to his plan, so that when you make choices to live for him in the freedom that he has given you, they are choices that will unify his bride, bring honor and glory to his name, and give you joy in him to display how awesome he is in the midst of the chaos of this world, the hope that you have. What a privilege. What a joy. What an opportunity. May God's love compel you.